This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFK. If you're not already a member, consider joining with us and keep free speech alive.
Or les_kpfk@pacifica.org. Thank you.
This is Mike Wallace. You're listening to Harrison.
Live from Hollywood, it's Harrison. With Harrison reporters stationed in every country, every capital.
News updates.
Your Harrison headlines brought to you by INN World Report.
Harrison News Time is 0 minutes past the hour, and I'm Mercy Malik with your reality check. Pakistan reacted angrily earlier this week after NATO said U.S. helicopters had crossed into its territory from Afghanistan to attack militants, claiming to have killed more than 50 Taliban fighters. Pakistan's foreign ministry condemned the incursions as, quote, a clear violation and breach of the U.N. mandate under which the International Security Assistance Force operates, end quote. Security analyst Mehmood Shah said, quote, NATO must be warned. The next time they do this, it can lead to war. This border has sanctity. NATO must realize they have a mandate to operate in Afghanistan, not Pakistan, end quote. NATO is justifying the breach of Pakistani territory as hot pursuit, which has some defense under international law. The UK Guardian says Pakistan is forced to react angrily because if it did not, it could have profound consequences for its eastern border with arch enemy India. There, India could use the same logic for pursuing extremists into Pakistani territory. It's 1 minute past the hour. Hundreds of people falsely detained and imprisoned by the Justice Department in the wake of the 9/11 attacks are now seeking redress through the U.S. courts. One pending federal class action lawsuit names former Attorney General John Ashcroft and other top Bush administration officials. The suit charges the detainees were kept in solitary confinement, placed under a communications blackout, and subjected to physical and verbal abuse, including beatings, repeated strip searches, and sleep deprivation. Attorney Rachel Mirpol said, quote, after 9/11, hundreds of men were swept up and detained in deplorable conditions based only on their religion and ethnicity. 9 years later, my clients are still determined to hold the masterminds of these sweeps accountable, and we will continue this fight until former Attorney General John Ashcroft and his cronies are forced to answer for their policy of profiling and abuse, end quote. It's 2 minutes past the hour. Barack Obama's health care overhaul has divided the nation, and Republicans believe their call for repeal will help them win elections in November. But a recent Associated Press poll found that Americans who think the law should have gone further outnumber by 2-1 those who think the government should stay out of health care. More than 30 million people will gain coverage in 2019 when the law is fully phased in, but 20 million others will still remain uninsured. The poll found that about 4 in 10 adults think the new law did not go far enough to change the American healthcare system, while only 1 in 5 said they opposed the law because they thought the federal government should not be involved in healthcare at all, unless they themselves were sick, no doubt. For Go Harrison on KPFK 90.7, this has been Mercy Malik with your reality check.
For details on all these stories and more, go to INNWorldReport.net.
JoeHarrison.com.
What's new about Tiger Woods?
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
Elvis Presley.
O.J. Simpson. Abandoned
base. Order.
Harrison. Talk show. Random. Political. Outrageous.
Philosophical.
Analytical.
Passionate.
Sunsets.
Roadkill cooking tips.
Open-minded.
Swordsman.
Bent.
Resolute.
Chocolate.
Bushwhacker.
Belt buckles.
Investigative.
Companion.
Fearless.
Call in.
Piercing the club.
The mainstream entertainment.
Live from Hollywood, it's Harrison.
It is 4 minutes past the hour as eardrums bleed in the room. There we go. Bring. There we go. Nice. Lots less echoey. 4 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. Your new best friend. You're listening to Harrison on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. This is, of course, our Investigative Wednesdays, where we bring in the great Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. And we explore several ongoing issues, tear them apart, reverse engineer them, and put in front of you all the molecules so that it can be easily understood. By the way, we are doing our beta test video streaming right now. As we speak, you can go to GoHarrison.com, GoHarrison.com, one word, and you will see video on there. You'll be able to see Brad Friedman himself in
living color. I was not told there would be video.
That's why you shaved today.
I
bet
did.
His camera really
well, I
didn't
either. Apparently, yeah.
It's
thank
all right.
Mercy.
And you look good. Nice tan, by the way, as we turn off the fluorescent lighting because we all look so green today. So this is for many of you who audio stream who can't pull in the radio signal depending on where you are. And because of that, you will now have a second audio capability, that through GoHarrison.com. So enjoy the video stream as we beta test that today. If you caught last night, and we're going to be talking a little bit about this, not only some of the extraordinary Tea Party things, and Brad has a couple of breaking stories he's going to hit in just a couple of minutes, but if you heard the debates last night between Meg Whitman and Jerry Brown, I am still licking wounds. I am horrified by this woman, I have to tell you. Yes? What? You want to talk to her?
It's for me. Pay no attention to her.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
surprise it's content coming up shortly.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I just it's the post-it notes.
Well, things are breaking
there's
here.
There's blue post-it notes and green post-it notes.
That's right. This is something I wanted to talk to you with for like 10, 15 minutes.
Me or?
Yeah.
Oh, well, why don't we do it after the show?
Okay.
Oh, that'll be good. Yeah, that'll be good.
All right.
But things are breaking, and that's why there's some chaos.
Well, let's talk to you. This, of course, is Investigative Wednesdays. Brad Freeman, what do we got on tap?
Well, we have actually a couple of things. We're going to have some breaking news. Oh, you got a camera on me.
Don't you look good?
Thanks for telling me.
You're welcome.
I am so suing you after this show. We're going to have a couple of things. We had planned to speak with Lorraine Minniti, who's the author of a new poll out from Project Vote, which sort of cuts through some of the myths of the Tea Party and really cuts to the heart of it in the fact that, you know what, this Tea Party is really out of step with mainstream America. Yet you wouldn't notice if you watch the mainstream media coverage, you would think that this is America, this is an uprising, these tea baggers. Well, it ain't, and now we've got some empirical data, and as it turns out, Lorraine Minniti, a professor from Barnard College, who's the author of this poll, she was going to join us, but then she had to go to PBS NewsHour, but guess what? I think she may now be available. So we're going to talk to her in just a few minutes. Am I right? Is she available? We're going to get her? Okay. In just a few minutes, after the bottom of the hour, some really, really, really breaking news. Speaking of tea baggers,
that's a lot of adverbs.
Concerning James O'Keefe.
Oh, my favorite acorner.
Yeah.
My favorite nut.
Yeah, a liar. Your favorite liar, dirty trickster, and convicted federal criminal.
And pornographer now.
Attempted pornographer.
We're going to leave it right there.
Well, I'll tell you, though, some people may know about this story and this botched CNN scheme that fell apart apparently today, but bradblog.com breaks some exclusive news on that. We're going to cover it after the bottom of the hour. Of course, you can go to bradblog.com and check it out now if you're at home in front of a computer, but otherwise we're going to talk about that at the bottom of the hour. That's all straight ahead. So, you got more, or do I go straight to the poll?
Points at me.
Well, I didn't know. Do I go straight to the poll?
Well, I think you have. I think you have Lorraine.
We do have her. Okay, so give me a few minutes here. Let's just want to set this up. This is a poll that came out just this week, commissioned by Project Vote, looking at. I think the title of the poll is "What Happened to Hope and Change." Well, that's a good question. So, what they did was they talked to a whole bunch of 2008 voters to get some facts. Not the, Fox News facts, in air quotes, for those people on the video. Mm-hmm. Not the Fox News facts, but the actual facts. Who are these Tea Party people, and who do they represent? And as it turns out, as this poll shows, they represent a vast minority, an extremist fringe of this nation.
But we know this.
What, do we know this?
Yes, we know
well,
this.
Well, you and I may know it.
Well, and so does everyone. Watch. The public knows this.
Do they?
The public listening right here, right now knows this.
Do they?
Of course they do.
It's extraordinarily.
No, they really do. We talk about this ad nauseum. Yeah. The problem is that these Tea Party people are delivered as though they're the mainstream voice of the formerly Republican Party or whatever, yet they have an absolute disconnect, in fact, an inverse proportion to anything having to do with civil society. People get that. What's cool, finally, Brad, is that now this is in writing showing how cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs they are.
Well, they are. Here's just some examples. Now, to set this up, black voters, low-income voters, and young voters who really turned out in 2008 for Obama and the Democrats, in fact, they make up 32% of the electorate, while Tea Party sympathizers make up just 29% of the electorate, and all the other voters then make up 39%. So they're already, just by numbers, the Tea Partiers are a small minority of the electorate. But their views are also way in the minority. For example, the statement that the government should work to provide for the needs of all citizens. Seems like a common sense to you and I. 51% of all voters from 2008 agree, but only 20% agree with that sentiment. 20% of the Tea Partiers agree with that sentiment. As far as spending more money on infrastructure, 68% of all 2008 voters agree with this. And yet, we're fighting about it. Why? Because these teabaggers show up and holler and scream and give the impression that is echoed in the mainstream media that, oh, this is what America wants. America is tired of the deficits. America doesn't want any more spending on social programs and on infrastructure. Well, piece by piece, line by line, we go through all of these major policies, and guess what? The teabaggers are unbelievably out of touch. They are on the fringe. They are the extremes. And yet, their voice, should they turn out this November, should all the votes be counted and counted accurately, their voice may rule the day, and it's certainly ruling the mainstream media. So to that end, we do have Lorraine. Let's go to Lorraine Menidi. She's the author of this poll. She's forgive me, Lori, because I didn't know you were coming on. We got you back. Thank you for getting away from those losers at the PBS NewsHour. And so I didn't have your bio down, so I'm doing it by memory. Associate professor at Barnard College, correct?
I'm still an assistant professor.
Assistant professor.
But I did this poll in my capacity as the research director for Project Vote. So,
okay. Yeah. Thank you. And thank you for doing my job for me there. And good to talk to you again. You've done, by the way, one of my favorite studies of all time, The Politics of Voter Fraud, which I recommend everyone go out and read. Speaking of James O'Keefe and the Acorn Scam, Lori really did a great job in detailing just what a scam this whole voter fraud allegations from the GOP really are. Well, maybe we'll have time to talk about that. But this poll.
Just let you know that report was the basis for my book now on that subject, which came out in June, called The Myth of Voter Fraud.
Uh-huh.
So it was published by Cornell University Press, and there's a book-length version of the same argument.
Now, you know why I didn't know that, Lori?
I didn't let you know.
Yeah, you didn't send me a copy of the book. Am I in the book?
You are.
Okay, well, then I definitely want a copy. All right.
Signed.
Signed, yes, please. Okay, well, what are we, if we have time, we'll get to that. For now, this new poll, what are we to take away from this, Lorraine Menidi, from this new poll on what happened to Hope and Change?
Well, I think what the poll shows in big, bold ways is that the narrative of the Tea Party, which is anti-government, mm-hmm. they don't want government to do anything but the national defense, smaller government out of the way, that really is not a message that the majority of the electorate, just the electorate, has.
Right.
And especially, we were most interested in the groups that increased their participation in 2008, which was why we focused on those subpopulations of African Americans, low-income voters, and youth voters. All of those groups really, in an impressive way, increased their participation in 2008. So we wanted to go back and say, of those people who were excited by the campaigns in 2008, what do they think? And we honestly did not really know what we would find. We had a hunch, but given the excessive coverage and the domination in the media of the Tea Party story, that's really the thing that's fascinating the media right now, to the exclusion of all else. I have to say that I was actually surprised at how stark the differences are on questions about the role of government and attitudes toward public spending between these new groups who are more like the national electorate than the Tea Party. The Tea Party supporters really are an outlier, and you see it over and over again in the different ways that we ask questions to get at that, at these issues. So I was quite surprised because it's hard to understand why, when you're talking about new voters and mm-hmm. voters who are excited and want to participate, why they are so excluded from this debate. And it's, they're really stark differences. I some academic experience in survey research, and you just don't tend to see differences of 20 and 30 points between groups. These are like polar opposite views.
They are.
And government.
And by way of giving just a few more examples here, 65% of all voters, and we should say, as you noted, that African-Americans, young Americans, low-income voters feel even more strongly about this than the general populace. But where 65% of all voters support more spending on public education, 65, that's a pretty big majority, we see that only 41% of Tea Party sympathizers support more spending on public education. And as the poll already shows, Tea Party is actually a very small subset itself of all voters. Another number here, majority of all voters, 58%, support spending the same or more on income support programs such as food stamps or less well-off Americans, where only 33% of the Tea Party sympathizers share that view. And yet, Lorraine Menitti, what we see is that the media sort of, well, at best, they seem to show the Tea Partiers as one side of the equation and, you know, everyone else as the other, as if they are these two equal and competing bodies. But that's really in the best case scenarios. In most scenarios, it seems to me, and I'd be interested in your thoughts, it seems to me that the media seems to be suggesting, because Republicans are, that, oh, this is the way America feels. This is, they've had it with public spending on public education, on food stamps, and everything else. Are you seeing that same false equivalency, really, in the media?
Oh, yeah. It's really dramatic. And I don't know how to explain it. I'm not really a media analyst, but it is doing such a disservice to public debate because it's not only demoralizing a lot of groups that would like to be involved, it's just false. It's not an accurate representation of where the majority of voters are. And one has to wonder, you know, why is this such a dominant narrative right now? I don't really have a good explanation for that, but I just think we did a very careful poll, a poll that would stand up to any scrutiny by any academics and so forth, so that, you know, we didn't know, as I said, what the results would be. But having seen how stark these are and putting that up against this problem of media bias with respect to covering the Tea Party to the exclusion of all other stories, it just presents more questions, you know, that need to be answered. And the problem is whenever you present a counter-narrative to mm-hmm. the main media frame, as you know, because you do it all the time in your writings and stories that you cover, mm-hmm. you're just always working against a big wave. You know, you're always kind of heading right into that big wave, and it's really hard to convince people that it might not be exactly the way it seems, you know,
in
terms of the media coverage.
It is, and it seems to me that feeds on itself to a certain extent, because what you were doing here was polling 2008 voters. These are not necessarily 2010 voters, and I want to get your thoughts. I know we got to take a break here shortly for traffic. We're speaking with Lorraine Menitti. We're going to come back, and I want to ask, you know, are we seeing the kind of disproportionate media coverage because, in fact, these Tea Partiers are going to be the ones to vote? Will their opinions, minority fringe as they are, end up winning the day? And does this all feed on itself? Do their minority opinions become the majority opinions, because those are the ones that we talk about? We're going to talk about that and more, and, oh, yeah, the O'Keefe stuff. Oh, brother. Straight ahead after this break for traffic, Lorraine Menitti from Barnard College and ProjectVote.org. Stay with us if you could.
So much more to come. 20 minutes past the hour, Harrison with you. You're listening to Harrison on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, streaming video right now, doing a little beta test on Ustream. You can go to GoHarrison.com, one word, GoHarrison.com, and enjoy the fun, frolic, mayhem, and merriment of colored pixels streaming across your screen, plus alternative audio on there. This is our Investigative Wednesdays. We have Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in here. We're breaking a couple of stories and talking about the why as opposed to the what. The what is the stuff that's self-evident on all the various networks. The why the what comes out that way is infinitely more interesting. And if any of us have taken field trips, which I did yesterday with you, and we went out and talking to Tea Party people, you find out why they think the way they think. And it's very interesting. They're not bad people. They're just rather clueless people and frightened people.
They're disinformed.
Disinformed people, for sure.
They think they have a clue.
And they're so full of color that they're fascinating to put on the television set. And therefore, they become what mainstream America imagines itself to be, with a Lipton's tea bag hanging off the brim of your hat. However, I think there's more. More with Jeff Thomas and Traffic!
Harrison. Completely unsponsored, common sense commuter traffic.
At 21 minutes past the hour, this is your Go Harrison live and local traffic report on KPFK. It's a busy drive on the 57 North from the 91 to the 60 interchange. And in Pico Rivera on the 605 South, there's a vehicle fire at Washington Boulevard. Traffic is jammed back to Peck Road. In Chino, on the 60 East, there's an accident at Grove Avenue. Traffic begins to back up at Around Mountain. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, keyword Go Harrison. By Harrison, I'm Jeffrey Thomas on KPFK, 90.7 FM, Los Angeles, 98.7 FM, Santa Barbara.
Hi, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal with a brief but important message. As a listener to this Pacifica station, you know how important it is for its news, jazz, and classical musics. You can help Pacifica fulfill its vital community role by voting in upcoming local board elections. This is your station. Shouldn't you participate in programming, budgetary, and policy issues? Check out the candidates at PacificaElections2010.org. Thanks for listening to this Pacifica station.
Look out for your ballot in the mail. If you do not receive your ballot or you need a replacement, call 1-866-PEACE-01 and leave a message, and contact your local election supervisor, Les Radke, by writing to les_kpfk@pacifica.org and calling 213-261-7488. Ballots are due September 30th.
Minutes past the hour. Harris with you, your new best friend, Happy Feet, as we go dancing off to the polls on November 2nd. Informed, passionate, and hopefully battling the forces that would do us harm, take away or add more potholes, really. More potholes. It's funny, if you go to the Tea Partiers, as I did yesterday, or a couple of days ago, actually, over the weekend, and said, you know, you're right. We need to destroy these government, healthcare, government programs. In fact, and there was a woman who was about 68 years old. I said, there is a whole team of us in L.A., 23 years old. I'm not, but the team is 23 years old, and there are about 100 of these. We've gotten volunteers and buses now to go out and try to get rid of Social Security and Medicare, mostly Medicare, immediately, because how embarrassed and humiliated she must be having Medicare, socialized medicine this way, and that all these 20-year-olds who don't want to pay for it because they're Tea Partiers too, she just hasn't met them yet, want to rip that away from her within the next 2 weeks, and then she can, you know, probably die, which is okay because that's part of the plan, isn't it? Why should anyone give somebody else a Band-Aid? Why should somebody have to have a civil society? Exactly. She suddenly... Well, she got confused, but that's kind of the nature.
That is what they do, isn't
that,
it?
That is, in fact, what they do. This is Investigative Wednesdays. We've got Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in here right now, and we're talking about and breaking a couple of stories here. A big thing happening at CNN with one of our favorite nuts from Acorn. All of that happening here.
Not from Acorn, the man who did them in.
Well, that's right. The original Acorn nut.
Phony the liar.
Right. Who's such a big hero in places like Maryland and Louisiana.
Yeah.
By the way, in California, as we know, right here where we are sitting, it is illegal for me, for instance, to call you up, Brad, and record the conversation and use it without your permission, unless...
Yeah, well, now, don't give away our second half hour, because that's what we're going to talk about. We want to finish up real quick here, if we could, with Lorraine Maniti, assistant professor at Barnard College, author of The Myth of Voter Fraud, and, of course, the new poll on behalf of Project Vote called What Happened to
Hell?
Hope, Hell, and...
It's here.
What Happened to Hope and Change? Okay, Lori, so before the break there, I was asking, we see in your poll an enormous difference, an enormous gap between the majority of Americans and this fringe extremist, really, view of these folks who call themselves Tea Party sympathizers. Now, why do they get so much coverage in the media? Harrison suggests because they are so colorful, and they certainly are. But is there another reason? Is it because they are going to show up and vote, or is this sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy that the more those people are shown, the more people tend to take that view and show up and vote that way?
Well, I think it's probably both. I mean, I think the Tea Party story, what's interesting about it to me is that it's a story about party transformation. You know, this is a story about another kind of capture of one of the major political parties by a kind of movement, which we've seen happen before in our past. There can be a dynamic relationship between movements and parties. And so, you know, there is an interesting story there about what has happened to the Republican Party in the wake of the demographic and political changes that have been happening in the United States over the last, you know, decade. And so, you know, that is interesting. Are they the voters? Yes, they are more likely to vote than younger people. For example, we saw a big youth turnout in 2008, 51%, wasn't as high as the national turnout. But in 2006, in the previous midterm election, youth turnout was about 26%. And that drop-off from presidential to midterm, that's a pattern. It happens across the board, but it happens more among some of these key constituencies that increase their participation in a presidential election. And, you know, there are really two reasons for that real quick. One is that younger voters are not yet habituated to voting, and they're pulled in by big national campaigns where there's sort of a big issues on the table, and the second part is if candidates speak to their issues. And so in 2008, there was a candidate who took a risk in terms of political strategy by appealing to youth, and we saw that turnout go up. The question about what's going to happen in 2010 is just really an interesting and fascinating one, because there's one question on the table: will youth turnout drop as much as it might, given past historical patterns? And then how does that affect the outcome in all of the different races? You know, midterm elections are really not like presidential elections. Midterm elections are just a series of elections that are happening at the state and congressional level that happen to be happening either on the same day or in the same period, but they don't have the galvanizing effect that a presidential election can have. So there's a kind of, some people might say natural reason why there's going to be drop off, but it is true in the historical pattern that youth turnout, you know, goes down more than average. African American turnout tends to go down, although it's been creeping up a little bit in midterm elections, and certainly with low income voters, especially when the issues are not on the table for them and politicians are not appealing to them. There is a political calculation there with respect to, I think, the Tea Party, given that they are, in our poll, we found they were 92% white. They're much older. They have the highest incomes. They're more likely to be educated, with higher levels of education, more likely to be married, more likely to be in their home for 10 years or more. That's a population that votes.
And yet they're out there arguing, you know, crying about how terrible things are. And these are really some of the folks who are the best, most well-off currently in our society.
Well, yeah.
I have only 1 minute left here, Lorraine. I want to try to sneak in two questions if I can. One, will the strategy that you talk about and what we're potentially looking at for the 2010 election and sort of this short-term gain, I think, that the Republicans are angling to take advantage of in 2010, Is this something that then is going to come back to haunt them in 2012 when the youth vote, the low-income voters, and everyone else does turn out again for a presidential election?
I think there's a risk in not paying attention to the demographic changes that are going on in the United States. You know, so for example, that youth vote, one really significant thing from 2004 to 2008, that youth vote went from being about a quarter non-white mm-hmm. to almost a third non-white. Mm. And that's the direction of the country. And so these groups, which appear to be strongly attached to what some might call an activist vision of government, they're going to be there. And there's a question about what's going to happen in the future if parties don't change their tax and kind of deal with the change. We may be, to answer your question, we may be in a kind of really transitional period, and it may be detrimental to parties later on if they don't pay attention to really what's happening in terms of the big changes in the United States.
Last question, as the author of The Myth of Voter Fraud, and we do have to go here, but are we going to see once again the same old, they don't have Acorn to kick around anymore, but are we going to see the folks from the right coming out with their imaginary spooks and demons declaring massive Democratic voter fraud that doesn't exist again this year?
Yeah, I think we're already seeing it a little bit. You're right, there's no Acorn. In fact, you know, the strategy to destroy Acorn, I think, may have backfired a little bit because there's no boogeyman to go after anymore.
But they'll find him. Lorraine, I got to get out for a break.
Okay.
I really appreciate you taking the time today. Lorraine Menitti from Barnard College, author of The Myth of Voter Fraud and the new poll for ProjectVote.org, What Happened to Hope and Change. Thanks a bunch for making time for us today, Lorraine. Really appreciate
sure.
it.
Anytime, right. Brad.
You bet.
Okay.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
So much. 32 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. You're listening to Harrison on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. This, of course, is Investigative Wednesdays. We have Brad Friedman in with us of bradblog.com. And now it's time for a little news with Mercy Malik.
Go, Harrison. News update.
Harrison News Time is 32 minutes past the hour, and I'm Mercy Malik with your reality check. Speaking of voting, Meg Whitman wants your vote, but she doesn't want to give one. The Washington Post reports that the Republican nominee in California's gubernatorial race never even registered to vote until 2002 and participated only spottily until 2007 when she began to promote herself as a candidate.
You know what? Same is true, by the way, for the Secretary of State candidate on the Republican side. He voted only once in his life in California.
Well, maybe he voted well that one time.
That was
and
good
early and often that
yeah.
one time.
Ooh, the San Francisco Chronicle notes that Whitman said she was too busy to register to vote throughout the 1990s, although her cook and house manager both managed to do so. Some citizens refrain from registering to vote in an attempt to avoid being summoned to serve jury duty. Some do. But Whitman is putting her money, if not her civic duty, where her mouth is. She has so far spent $119 million of her own money trying to win over voters, a sum which handily breaks the record for previous self-financing of a campaign set last year by Michael Bloomberg. Bloomberg spent $109 million of his own money to win his third term as mayor of New York. It's 33 minutes past the hour. A federal judge declared a mistrial Monday in the case of two former Blackwater workers accused of murdering two unarmed Afghan civilians after the jury deadlocked. INNWorldReport.net notes that a new trial date has been set for March 1st. Justin Cannon and Christopher Drotla face murder, assault, and weapons charges that could send them to prison for life. Prosecutors said the two men had been drinking and took two company vehicles and weapons without permission when they shot into a fleeing vehicle on a street in May 2009. Cannon and Drotleff, who told investigators they feared for their lives and suspected the car could be a suicide bomber, were providing weapons training for the Afghan army. Jurors heard from two Afghan nationals who said they feared for their lives if they did not lie about the events of that night. One testified he had previously lied when he said the defendants had not been drinking. It's 34 minutes past the hour. And this just in, breaking news from Reuters, Meg Whitman's former housekeeper has come forward to state that the Republican candidate for California governor knowingly employed her while she was in the country illegally, treated her poorly while under the family's employ, and failed to pay her for all hours worked. OMG. Attorney Gloria Allred is representing the domestic worker named Nikki Diaz. Allred held a press conference earlier today to detail the revelations. The Whitman campaign quickly issued a claim that Diaz is being, quote, manipulated by Allred. But the attorney countered that records show Whitman was notified by the Social Security Administration as to Diaz's immigration status.
Oops.
For Go Harrison on KPFK 90.7, I'm Mercy Malik. You can be my friend on Facebook and send me some news tips for your reality check.
This is Harrison.
You go, Shirley. 35 minutes past the hour. Make it 36 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you, your new best friend. You're listening to Harrison on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. By the way, if you do have news tips, not only send them to Mercy via Facebook, you can also send them to news@goharrison.com, along with activism tips. If you have an event such as we covered yesterday, please let us know. activism@goharrison.com.
Don't send them to me. I have enough news tips. Do not send your news tips to me.
Right, well, I've gotten great stuff from listeners off of Facebook.
Yeah, you have?
So,
oh, yes. I know. Facebook,
they're really...
apart from finding out what people are eating for dinner or how their ileogastro system
filter
is working that
filter
day, and are they...
Thing.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, apart from all of that, it really is... apart from that, it really is kind of an extraordinary organ for that.
Extraordinary organ. I'm... no comment. I'm more of a Twitter guy myself.
Oh, okay.
We've got the Facebook,
you
but I like
blogger,
for that same thing, for that same reason. You get a lot of great tips, and actually I'm looking at bradblog.com now, and it's down. It's crashed. So I'd like to think it's because of all the hell
you're That's exactly right. That you Hellraiser, you.
Yeah. Hopefully
and we can watch, us the humans can watch this right now. If you go to goharrison.com, we are video streaming right now and offering alternative audio as well from any of the computers in certain people's businesses that don't allow them to stream online. This is one certain way you can do it, and you could see what Brad Friedman looks like in living color. You just saw Mercy Malik.
Handsome. Gorgeous. Woo!
She is. And I know that all the straight guys that just saw Mercy are all making screenshots.
Or
and
women,
probably
right?
Or that, too. Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
I like to have a broad
she looks
base
so
of
hurt
appeal.
And left
Let's
out.
Share. Whoa. Speaking of these kind of subtle sexual nuances, let's buzz into what's going on with something at CNN. And let's talk about some of these things that are going on. Yeah. These are some breaking stories. And again, they get back to sort of the Tea Party mentality. Now, the Tea Partiers themselves, I don't think, are particularly dishonest. I think they're just completely, their trains of reality have derailed. But there are forces within, power forces that have a certain appetite. It's not sex and sin that is bringing America down. It's greed.
Yes.
It's greed. And these same forces are so hungry on having the power, on being able to gerrymander until it looks like 1,000 broken spider webs everywhere. And that's the plot of the play here. So let's talk, Brad Friedman, about what are you learning is going on right now with this reporter.
Well, greed is driving the misinformation and the disinformation. And we've got folks, clowns, dirty tricksters, hoaxsters, folks like Andrew Breitbart, who we talked a little bit about last week, who was, for some reason, given legitimacy on Bill Maher's show on Friday, called a journalist, and by Bill Maher, and by the way, Andrew Breitbart is anything but a journalist. He's a liar and a hack, and he knows it. His employee, James O'Keefe, is the... I got to figure out what language I can use here in KPFK, but he's the
How
nice
about
young
calling
man.
Him a...
who went into the Acorn offices not dressed as a pimp, though most people listening probably think, you know, they saw these videotapes, they think he went dressed as a pimp, and gosh, these Acorn people are so stupid, they couldn't tell that this 20-year-old skinny little white kid actually was not a 70s-era blaxploitation pimp. And then they advised
him.
Yeah,
what does a pimp look like?
Yeah, well,
I use the internet, so
well,
I wouldn't know.
If you're a guy like him, a little white jerk from New Jersey who sat home and the only thing he ever knows about pimpness is what he sees in these blaxploitation movies, it looks the way he edited himself into these videos to look.
Right,
he put on a
fedora.
Hat.
Oh, it was a big
cape.
Puffy hat.
Yes.
It looked like a mushroom.
Dr. Seuss-like.
Then
yes,
he went on Fox.
Seussian.
Yeah, Seussian. Yeah.
And then he went on and he edited it in such a way that it looked like that's how he was going into these offices.
Ooh,
and he tricked everyone into reporting it that way, including the New York Times, who I spent months trying to get them to retract their coverage because
they were busy that day.
He didn't do it.
Selling the war.
Yeah, exactly. He never did it. He didn't go in that way. He didn't claim that he was a pimp. He actually said that he was trying to save this young girl, Hannah Giles, from an abusive pimp. So the whole thing was a scam, but it was a scam that worked because it ended up taking down Acorn, this four-decade-old anti-poverty, pro-democracy community organization.
Right, to help people have places to live and
for
such.
For nothing.
That's
the
right.
The only one who broke any laws in those tapes, apparently, was not the Acorn workers, because investigation after investigation has showed that they did not. But in fact, it was who? James O'Keefe, who in California appears to have broken the privacy laws, the wiretap laws. Jerry Brown, the attorney general, let him off the hook. He gave him immunity in exchange for the unedited videotapes, the ones that he never did release publicly. He did the same thing Brown found in Maryland, where they also have privacy laws. You can't secretly audiotape or videotape someone. It is against the law. James O'Keefe appears to have broken that law in Maryland. And my organization that I helped co-found, VelvetRevolution.us, sent a letter back in July to the Maryland state's attorney and the attorney general out there, asking them to bring charges against O'Keefe. And they so far have not. Well, he got away with it, didn't he?
And he's been particularly naughty, we find out today.
We find out that he's doing the same damn thing because nobody held him accountable. Today, CNN is reporting Abby Boudreau, an investigative journalist over there, is doing a documentary on these jerks on the right called Right on the Edge. And she wanted an interview with O'Keefe. And in the process of doing this, O'Keefe and his gang of merry pranksters and liars tried to set her up for a sting, a scam, a hoax.
To invite her over to his boat.
To his boat.
At which point he had dildi, I guess that's the correct Latin
dildi,
plural,
okay.
Or dildi,
yeah.
and a variety of different sexual toys, a smorgasbord of naughtiness set up, in which case he would hope to videotape her pleasuring self.
Yes, he was hoping to try to seduce her and then release this as some sort of a prank. It's a complicated scheme, and I'm not even sure what he thought he was trying to do, but what we do know from the documents that CNN was able to release today, and there's more coming after they get cleared because of the adult content, but what we do know is that he was hoping to ruin her career and destroy CNN's reputation. Not that it needs that much destroying. But the point is, you can't go out there and try through nefarious means to ruin someone's career, to ruin someone's livelihood, and you certainly cannot, under Maryland law, where this boat was, you cannot secretly videotape anybody. Now, there was two points involved in this particular story with Abby Boudreau. One, she talks about a phone call that she got a copy of a phone call between her and O'Keefe that I believe O'Keefe secretly recorded. Now, she was tipped off to this by somebody in O'Keefe's organization who thought this was a really, really bad idea.
What?
Go imagine.
Crazy.
Someone has a moral, morals associated
caution.
With O'Keefe. So she gets this this audio tape attached to an email. That would be a violation of Maryland's privacy wiretap laws. And as well, this conspiracy to videotape her secretly on this boat, that's a conspiracy to commit a felony in the state of Maryland under their wiretap and surveillance law, would also be a crime. So he did this back in September of last year in Maryland.
On probation in Louisiana for the same thing.
And now that's a whole new crime. He's also a convicted federal criminal.
Right.
He pled guilty in this case down in Louisiana in Senator Mary Landrieu's office. And you're right. He's on 3-year probation. It sure as hell seems to me like trying to commit a state felony in Maryland would be a violation of the federal probation.
Well, I wouldn't get away with it.
Under.
But, you know, some people have...
Because you're not a right-winger.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And now that we've established that, it's 45 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. You're listening to Harrison on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. This is Investigative Wednesdays. We have, of course, Brad Friedman on here, our favorite investigator, who is not wearing a silly press hat because he's wearing headphones instead. Otherwise, he probably would wear the pimp hat, of which we have 17 varieties in here on little styrofoam heads.
And I, by the way, I can report that bradblog.com is now back up, so you can get even more details about what we're talking about here.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Harrison. I heard you.
We're talking about CNN. We're talking about an award-winning reporter who has covered all sorts of stuff from NATO to the improper incarceration of people in Afghanistan. She's done really a lot of good. Much of her stuff has been broken on Anderson Cooper. She's done other stuff that's been documentary-related, comes from a CBS background, various O&Os around the country. And it looks like she's fallen victim to this this puckfist, this blatherskite, this person who and wanted to stick up, but he wasn't.
Well, you know, if you're going to call people puck fists and blather
skites.
You hardly need to bleep that.
Well, I know, but I think it adds just a little bit of the appropriate drama
here.
You're
right, it is. Huh.
And so these are some of the issues. Now, I also want to point out that you can see Brad if you go to GoHarrison.com. We're doing a beta test video stream today, and it's pretty exciting and groovy. Let's open up the phones because many, many, many of you have been following this and have a lot of questions. Let's get them out. Let's get them out now. 310-737-TALK, our numbers here. 310-737-8255, your Harrison hotlines. Also, tomorrow night, just a quick programming note, you'll recall on Monday we had on Russ Baker, who wrote that extraordinary tell-all book, some 500-some-plus pages, not only about the Bush administration, going back to Poppy Bush, the neocons, and all of it, but we're going to be doing a, I guess you would call it a talk, in the living room of one of your progressive listeners in the Pacific Palisades, a nice big comfy living room with hors d'oeuvres and all the rest of it. And that's tomorrow night at 7. I'm going to give you a phone number if you would like to come. 310-858-6643. 310-858-6643. Three. That's tomorrow night at 7.
What will you be discussing at that
point? We're going to be talking about his book. Unfortunately, on Monday, we only had a very limited amount of time to get into it, but it's very lengthy, so we're going to allow some time to breathe big time.
Breathe
and really sort of get into this. Again, the numbers
here. He's no puck fist or blather Skype, is he?
This guy's amazing. He's been writing for The Nation for many years and has the sort of material and the sort of big book, which is sitting right here.
Yeah. Well, let me see that. All right. Let me see that book.
Look at this thing.
You can. Oh, that is a big book.
You could throw this over the side of a ship.
You can't fit that into
an
hour.
And use it as an anchor.
Let's see.
Right, exactly.
Family of
Secrets. And unfortunately, he can't. The only types of mainstream
Baker.
Media, yeah.
He's no puck fist.
I didn't say he was.
Well, you said he was a puck fist.
I did not.
Oh, no, that was James O'Keefe.
Thank you.
All right, sorry about that.
Our Harrison hotlines are 310-737-TALK as we queue up the lines right now. Investigative Wednesdays, we've got Brad Friedman on here of bradblog.com. Are we ready? Are we ready to do that? Let's do it. Let's go to line one. Hi, you're on with Harrison. Welcome. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Seattle.
Am I on there?
You sure are.
There. What's up?
Yeah, I'm just curious what are the chances of us really turning things around when the mainstream media already got to the people? I mean, it's like a no-win situation.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with you. I mean, it's kind of depressing. And Harrison, I got to give it up to you coming on the air every day for an hour. You know, I'm not on as frequently as you, and I sit in for our friend Mike Malloy every now and again. But if I had to come on every day and talk about the political situation in this country and the mess that we are facing, because, you know, just talking to Lorraine Menidi in the first hour, you see, you've got the majority of people, the clear majority of people, feeling one way, wanting progressive ideas to move forward. It's not even close. And yet, where is this country going? Well, if the Republicans take over, it's likely going to go the direction they want, which is the minority. And that is extraordinarily frustrating. You want the media to do something about it, but
It's the mainstream media, and they don't get it.
And to your point, one of the huge losses that would happen if there is a shift in power that way is the Republicans would gain subpoena power, which means we suddenly spend nothing but the next 3 years doing sort of a whitewater thing of figuring out where was Obama born, let's see that birth certificate,
yes.
Who did his hair, was it the Acorn Barber, and it will be nothing but that. And the television networks will cover it like an OJ trial, and everything will vanish that we're all working for.
And that's what they said they wanted to do.
Yeah,
they want those investigations.
It's not a secret.
Yeah.
So whether or not we happen to be huge fans of the Democrats at large, this at least retains an opportunity for upward movement as far as you and I are concerned. So we must maintain.
Right.
Maybe. But if we agitate.
Right. And to answer the caller's question, the way that we turn it around is by speaking out. So you listening right now, caller, you calling in, you talking to all of your friends, it's a critical mass of voices speaking out on the other side that lets people know something can be done. So you're doing good.
We love you. And have a great day. Thank you so much, my friend. Let's go next to this fellow on line two, or fellette. We'll find out. Hi, you're on with Harrison and Brad. Welcome. Hello.
Hi there.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, I just saw a poster stuck to the side of a utility box next to the off-ramp right off the freeway. So there's a big national conference on socialism coming up at USC on the weekend of November. That sounds kind of suspicious. What do you guys know about that?
Suspicious? Why does that sound suspicious? I know nothing about it, but I'm not sure what it was.
Did they use the word socialism, or did they use social policy, or what?
They used the word socialism.
And it was in November? Because that's after the election. Remember, after November 2nd,
right.
These jerks can go back to not caring about all the fake issues they've made up for the past 2 years.
Let's ask a favor of you. Would you mind just, looping around and try not to burn too much
on
fuel?
On the highway.
What's the exit?
Yeah, can you take a picture of this with your cell phone and email it to us, or shoot it at Harrison at GoHarrison.com or whatever?
We'll do that. And then I've got one other question if anybody knows about Mae Whitman. If she actually ever registered to vote. I heard that she never registered.
That was the news item at the bottom of the hour. She first registered to vote in 2002. She was never registered to vote as an adult at all until the year 2002, and she voted sporadically, if at all, and even that is disputed, until 2007 when she decided to enter politics herself, and so obviously wanted to show that she was participatory at that point.
Thank you so much. What an excellent call. 53 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. You're listening to Harrison on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. This is our Investigative Wednesdays. We have Brad Friedman in here of bradblog.com, a great place to go whenever you want to know what breaking news is going on. And time for a little quick traffic with Jeff Thomas, then we'll return. We'll take a call from Matt in Malibu and talk more with Brad. Jeff.
Harrison. Completely unsponsored common sense commuter traffic.
It's 53 minutes past the hour.
Go for it, Jeff.
Thomas, this is your Go Harrison traffic report on KPFK. It's still a tough drive on the 57 North between the 91 and the 60 freeway due to an earlier incident. The 605 North is a traffic hazard before Slauson. Traffic is busy from the 105 freeway. And in downtown LA, the 110 North and South traffic is jammed. And the 405 North through the Sepulveda Pass, it's a joke. For Harrison, I'm Jeffrey Thomas on KPFK, 90.7 FM, Los Angeles, 98.7 FM, Santa Barbara.
This is Harrison.
54 minutes past the hour. Let's go to Matt in Malibu. Matt, you're on. Welcome. Hey there, Matt.
Hi. I have an idea that I think you guys will like. Basically, we can take the Tea Party people, the tea baggers. We can find the, somewhere in Georgia or something, a county that has the highest per capita of inbreeding, secede from the nation, and we'll call it Glenbeckistan. And then we can allow this to, you can make facts illegal, Santa Claus still exists, the free market reigns.
Yeah,
all
but
the
problem is the these people love war so much they would end up invading Alabama.
We'll create. We'll surround them with little other nations.
A wall,
a very high fence.
Build the dang fence.
They want that.
Georgia.
That's exactly what they want.
That's right.
Excellent. Thank you so much, my friend. Yep. Have a great day.
I want to point out to folks that they can get, they can and they should get in touch with, I had mentioned the velvetrevolution.us letter that was sent to the Maryland law enforcement officials, asking them to bring criminal charges against James O'Keefe, who does not respect the rule of law, who is not a conservative. He says he is, but at last I remember they used to care about the rule of law if you were a conservative. That used to be a big thing they acted like they believed in.
As you're following their laws.
They choose the laws.
It's the other people's laws that are so inconvenient and just downright icky.
Well, I want to recommend that people, you can get the letter. At BradBlog I have it, but velvetrevolution.us sent this letter to the state's attorney general and the state's attorney in Maryland, and I would suggest that people contact Maryland attorney general and says, hey, bring charges against this guy, criminal investigation for what he did in Acorn, because the California attorney general has already said it's illegal, and for what he did in this CNN mess. Enough is enough. If these guys are never held accountable, and we know it's okay if you, what is it,
I'm okay, you're okay?
No, it's okay if you are a Republican. That's what learned.
Well, yeah.
These guys get away with it because nobody calls them on it, and we sit around and go, well, what can we do? Well, take action. Let's find out the phone number of the Maryland Attorney General and raise holy hell and say, hey, why aren't you enforcing the rule of law in your state?
Well, it's exactly right. Exactly right. Hey, Brad, I want to thank you so much.
That time already?
Yeah, we're down to the last 45 seconds.
Right.
Brad Friedman, this is our Investigative Wednesdays here on The Harrison Show on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. Mercy Malik, news director, thank you so much for all the great Meg Whitman stuff. I wish it never had to pass your lips the way I wish Carly Fiorina hadn't laid off 30,000 people. While talking about jobs.
Yeah.
Was that the plus or the minus? That will be revealed.
Yep.
But remember, when in doubt, vote it out. And vote it out early and often. Mayor Daley taught us this. Show up by the bus. Yes. Dig up dead people.
No, don't vote early. Don't vote often. Once and on election day.
Even better.
On paper ballot.
Even better. G.F. Thomas, G with a J. Thank you so much, everybody. We will see you next Monday at 3 o'clock. And have a wonderful week.
Joe Harrison.
This is Ed Asner. You're listening to Pacifica Radio, KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and streaming globally at kpfk.org.
Autumn is officially in the air, and KPFK's Fall Fund Drive is right around the corner. We kick off on Tuesday, October 5th, and we'll need you to help fill up our phone room with volunteers. Call 818-985-2711, extension 513, or send an email to volunteer@kpfk.org to set up a shift. For more details, log on to kpfk.org and click on Volunteer. While you're there, scroll down and check out some of our other volunteer and internship opportunities. KPFK is located in North Hollywood, right off the 101 freeway and just blocks from the Universal City Red Line Station. The number to call is 818-985-2711, extension 513. Donating your time is a fantastic way to support your local fiercely independent and listener-sponsored radio station. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth.